Blaine Winship is joining us this morning. Blaine, the counselor, the lead trial counsel for 26 states in their lawsuits against Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. First off, Blaine, good to meet you, man. Been looking forward to talk to you all week.
Oh, same here. It's great to be here this morning.
Hey, I want to start with first. You know, you have been totally immersed in all the details, right, of Obamacare since, 2010 and before that, while you were preparing for the trial. Why do you think Obamacare failed? And more accurately, do you think it was designed to fail?
Oh, I definitely think it was designed to fail. It covered a lot of ground. But you know, the big problem that they had that they marketed, you might remember, going back to 2010, the reason that they wanted to put this through was that we had all these uninsured people. Well, most of the uninsured people were uninsured by choice. If you talk then about people who were uninsurable because they had pre-existing conditions, it was a much smaller number. Could have taken care of that very easily, the way we've taken care of the elderly and over the years a number of others by letting them get into the Medicare program, which was actually designed for that. People think it's just for the elderly, but actually, over the years, Congress has made a number of exceptions to enroll other groups besides just the elderly who cannot qualify for insurance. They could have done that. That would have been easy. They could have left everything else alone, left the private health care insurance industry alone. They didn't want to do that. This was designed to destroy health care insurance. Because, you know, it's the same thing, in a sense, as requiring insurers to insure your car after it's crashed or your barn after it's burned down. It's just completely antithetical to the concept of insurance. So they wanted to clear out the private insurance companies. And look what we were seeing by the end of this, right? And then in its place, of course, we would have had the single-payer system that Hillary Clinton had wanted back in 1993 and came close to getting, I think.
Right. And here you are with a system that was designed to fail because there was an heir apparent, and that Hillary Clinton would be reelected, and that march to single-payer government control of our health system would have been manifest. But, you know, a lot of people, Mr. Winship, decided, we'll just pay the penalty, especially young folks.
Oh, yes. And you know, I can get into some of the intricacies of the of how awful the Supreme Court's decision was. I mean, we won at the trial level. Our district judge threw out the entire act, which was... It would have been nice if that had been affirmed, and we came close to achieving that on appeal, except for Justice Roberts doing what we think was a switch in time on that. Very lively for Justice dissent in that, no attribution of authorship for that opinion. The scuttlebutt is that it's because Justice Roberts himself wrote most of it and then switched sides near the end.
Because we were all surprised. I mean, I remember the day that it happened, and I was listening to the radio, and I heard the outcome of the trial. I'm going, how can this be? Because never in their life have we been taxed. Although the term, which I read in one of your articles on MarketWatch, I thought was really good, by the way. You know, that term is interchangeable with some other terms, but, you know, the shock that a lot of people experience. And so here we go. We start the march down the system. Rates go nuts. Insurance companies start dropping out. Literally, you know, we got to a period towards the end of last year that it was every week there was a new insurance company says, you know, I think we're going to leave. What is going to happen next is the big question, because perception is reality in the media, and we've got that issue to worry about as far as a political sense, but ultimately, function. And I can tell you, Blaine, that I every day now, in particular, single females saying, I cannot afford, look at my insurance bill, I can't do this. This is three house payments, this is two car payments, I can't do this. What's next? Yesterday, Trump says a simultaneous exchange, out with the old, in with our GOP plan. What do you see as the future and how it can be made to work?
Okay, first of all, they have to repeal it. They've got to get rid of this thing. It's a monstrosity. And they've got to do it fairly soon. They've got a two-year window of opportunity before we have the midterm elections in 2018. Most of these Republicans ran for office promising their constituents that they would repeal Obamacare. Everyone has been waiting for years for them to do it, one excuse after another. They have no more excuses. They've got to get rid of that, or political heads will roll, point one. Point two, in replacing it, I think, you know, you're talking about repeal and replace. I think that's the wrong term. The term I favor is repeal and redirect. We need to redirect health care back to where the constitutional plan of this country intended for it to be, which is with the states. And that would be a much better system for us to do. Instead of having one top-down, centrally planned government approach that the Democrats have, being replaced by another by the Republicans in Congress, we need to get Congress out of the business and the federal government out of the business of micromanaging health care across this great country of ours. If we send this stuff back to the states, and I have some great ideas, I think, for that, for example, Medicaid. What we should be doing is block granting the money in Medicaid back to the states with almost no strings attached, letting them set up health savings accounts. Here Congress can help. Let's get the tax legislation put through to support health savings accounts. Let's allow the states to give vouchers to people who are of low income or no income so they can go out and shop around and buy their health care. Let's try to educate and persuade people about the value of shopping around. Because with a health savings account, if it's set up correctly, whatever you save by being careful in how you spend your health care dollars, you get to keep in your account. That gets to roll over for the rainy day. Let's return health insurance to what it was supposed to be, really, which is insurance against major medical events. Let's get people to go back to paying for their everyday costs out of pocket. You'd be amazed once the morality of the marketplace is restored to healthcare, like any other industry, really. You'd be just amazed how quickly the prices will become rational again. They'll come down. They will actually reflect the quality of the services and goods that are being provided to people. And let's give them competitive choices. And I do think one of the things that Congress really needs to do, and actually this is a legitimate exercise of their power under the Constitution. They were originally given power under the Commerce Clause to, in a sense, referee trade disputes among the states. So the states couldn't erect trade barriers to favor their merchants over out-of-state merchants. Let's use that power to a good purpose this time by not allowing states to keep out-of-state insurance companies away.
I hear this. I probably hear more of that, Mr. Winship, than any other single point. Before I let you go today, we're going to have to do something. It's going to have to be practical, and there's going to be a war for the hearts and minds of Americans on this replacement, because they're going to go say, look, you know, people who had pre-existing conditions, hey, we want them to be able to get access health care. People who have devastating medical situations, we want them to get health care. We can do this without busting the system. I mean, ultimately, the replacement has to look compassionate while being practical, doesn't it, Blaine?
Yes, it does. And there's nothing more compassionate, really, than allowing our freedoms to come into play. This what's going on in healthcare is the cutting edge of something much bigger. This is a war of values that's been going on for 75 years or more. And this is all about whether we're going to become a top-down, centrally controlled, centrally managed, socialistic government that no longer rewards excellence among our people, or we are going to go to being a bottom-up system of political freedom and, more importantly in a lot of ways, economic freedom, that allows us to reward excellence, to encourage excellence, and gives people the freedom to be able to make choices for themselves instead of just doing whatever government says they're supposed to do.
Blaine, when I hear you say excellence, here's what I hear in my mind: innovation, creating great new medical products. We've continually, America's known across the world for that ability to do that. The best medical system in the world is being degraded right now. I literally spoke with someone from an area hospital who told me last week, and can I quote you on this? And they said, yes, Obamacare is killing people every day because things are not being ordered. Tests aren't being allowed. On the list go. It's happening every day. I spoke to a woman literally on Monday of this week who said, I fell. I hurt myself pretty badly. My deductible is $6,500. I can't afford to go to the hospital.
That is just so sad. And it's terrible that it's a byproduct of this. But this is what happens with the blunt instrument of top-down, centrally managed government. We've got to get away from this idea of socialism. And by the way, we can't stop with just Obamacare. We have to get into the schools. We have to stop educating our children to be socialists. It's no surprise to me that they were also enthusiastic about Bernie Sanders. But what does this mean for the future of this country? We really have got to explain freedom and justify freedom in a much better way than we have ever done before. And just think about innovation. You're right, that's one aspect of excellence that I was referring to. You're quite right. But just think about this. Socialized systems don't generate innovation because government doesn't know how to do it. It doesn't even value it. It's people out in the ordinary private sector who are going to be willing to take these kinds of chances. But think about it this way. If we'd gone socialized medicine 50 years ago, how many innovations would we not have today?
Yeah.
And we see socialized medicine in other countries, and we say, well, some of those seem to work pretty well. Well, actually, on closer inspection, they really don't work all that well. But they have been able to have enjoy the benefit of looking to the United States for most of their innovations over the past 50 years. What if we hadn't been there for them? And now picture 50 years from now, if we've gone into socialized medicine, who would we be looking to for the innovations? China? I don't think so.
Yeah. I think the anniversary was the beginning of the VA, the largest centralized system. If you want to see how government runs a healthcare system, there you go. News Radio WJPF, Blaine Winship. Blaine, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. I'm hoping you and I get a chance to speak again, especially when new plans become introduced to the public more so that we can debate that, because I really would love to have you back sometime, sir. Appreciate it.